thank you everyone for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, where we dissect an episode of the Golden Girls because we have nothing better to do. That's the truth.
I have better things to do. I choose to do this.
We chose to do this. That's right. I'm Anthony DeSimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have an awesome guest. We are very happy to have her, the very funny Amy Carpenter.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Yay!
I'm here for the free wine, honestly.
And the kettle chips.
Oh, the popcorn kettle chips.
We had two kinds of kettle chips. That's what you get as a guest of Tiff Bap.
We had kettle flavored and then white cheese.
White cheese.
Okay. They were all delicious. Yeah. So, Amy, tell us what's your Golden Girls background? We ask every guest to tell us.
Like any child, I watched shows inappropriate for my age. I was really into Cheers, you know, spent a lot of time in that.
I love Cheers.
I wanted to know what my future would be like, so I watched a lot of Golden Girls. And then really took a long break, so I'm glad to be back.
Oh, a long Golden Girls break. Mm-hmm. Yes, we all need the much needed Golden Girls break. And so we watched an awesome episode of the Golden Girls today. There were funny parts. There are parts that are really creepy about it. Yeah. Super creepy.
Super creepy.
And so the episode we watched was episode 24, season 1. And we're almost to the end. The next one is the finale of season 1. So, yeah.
So exciting. That explains why there was so much tension built up.
So much sexual tension built up. And so the episode was called Big Daddy. And the original air date was May 3rd, 1986. And Genevieve, would you like to do a brief synopsis of the episode?
I guess. All right.
Do it!
I'll do it. All right. Gotta prepare.
Mentally, physically.
You can physically. Do it. You can do it.
Okay.
Thank you
All right.
For hearing. Yes.
All right, guys. You. I think I got it. Okay. So Blanche's father, who is nicknamed Big Daddy, decides to visit, and Blanche is a little bit too excited. she wears the creepiest dress we've all ever seen to greet him at the door. But Big Daddy isn't just coming to visit her. He's coming to start his music career right there in Miami.
Right in Miami.
And that causes some problems. And speaking of problems, palm tree falls on the Golden Girls residence. And basically but it's from the neighbor's house, and the neighbors don't want to pay for it. So Sophia puts a curse on the neighbor. And it's pretty great.
Best B plot ever in Golden Girls so far. Like, there's been B plots that are just like, there's a mouse in the house, and it's like, but this one, a curse. You can't go wrong. That was great.
An Italian curse.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic. The evil eye. Also, the veranda, very important. I think that maybe the fifth Golden Girl, the veranda being in danger.
They call it the lanai.
The lanai. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a Golden Girl in and of itself, right? That palm tree was also a Golden Girl. That was a sixth Golden Girl.
So, she died.
She died. So this episode starts off in the kitchen. Sophia gives Dorothy some grapefruit juice that is expired because she doesn't know. Because that's how she gets people to taste things that are expired.
I think that's how she establishes power.
Yeah.
Early in the morning. I mean,
because it seems like a sweet thing. Here's some juice. Have some juice.
Right.
But really, it's an evil trick.
Right. She does a lot of evil things in this episode. Yeah.
I think she's just like, I'm going to give you some orange juice. Oh, no, it's expired. Sometimes it's still good. Oh, it's not good? That's fine. It's in your mouth. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gross. And so she's complaining about Rose. The night before, there was a storm, apparently. A huge storm, and it scared Rose because She's a grown woman. Why should
but
he?
She's a grown woman, but she's also a golden retriever. So
she has a kind of vacant, happy look about her.
She's got golden locks, and she sniffs a lot.
She does sniff a lot.
She poops outside. That's how she found out about the tree.
Hopefully, she poops outside.
I don't want her pooping in the living room.
And so, you gotta do it in the lanai. You can't do it in the living room. And so she was trying to sleep with Sophia because she was scared. It was like three in the morning, and she was like, "Get out of my room." And so that wasn't working out. And so Blanche comes in, and she's super excited about Big Daddy. Big Daddy's coming to visit. Big Daddy, like, he's never visited before. Like, he's
right. How long has she been there? He's never once visited.
She lives. Big Daddy is from. Okay, like, this was really confusing because the first half of the season, she's from Atlanta, Georgia, and now she's talking about she's from this county where her home was Twin Oaks. And I'm guessing that Twin Oaks is outside of Atlanta.
It's actually the name of the property, Twin Oaks.
Twin Oaks is the name of the property. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so that was the name of the estate.
The estate.
Oh, the estate. Wind. Yeah. Okay.
But she definitely mythologizes her father and her upbringing, her childhood.
I think, like, mm-hmm. she was trying to, like he obviously fucked her. And so...
Yeah.
And so she's filled those memories with, like, memories of her dad sitting in the veranda with all the businessmen and everybody, like, loving her father and being the town's father figure, basically. Right. She says that...
He's like their godfather.
Yeah, godfather.
Yeah.
And, like, but something changed in where he stopped being, like, that strong figure, and now he wants to become a country star.
Where she still needs him to be that strong figure. I mean, she's, right. you know, she's such a child inside that for her to not have him as this strong figure mm-hmm. is scary for her. And she really acts out in this episode.
Like a child. She is insane in this episode. Okay, so she talks about how all the women used to gather under the big magnolia in exchange... prize winning pecan pie recipes.
Okay, I think exchange pecan pie recipes is definitely a euphemism for lesbian sex.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because pie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Award-winning.
Yeah. Award-winning.
Award-winning.
Lesbians win a lot of awards.
They do.
Yeah. Film festivals. Yeah. They got it down. Oh, drinking mint juleps also. So they would get wasted. And
right, we're drunk, we're under a tree.
We're under a willow tree.
We're drinking. Yeah, we're drinking. You look like a man. It's good.
Rose finds out that there's a palm tree in the lanai that fell over during the storm. And so they all run out and they're like, "Oh my god, a fucking palm tree fell." And so, right when they go out, Mr. Barton, the neighbor, comes in.
Oh, you got a name. You got a name.
I got a name. Mm-hmm. Mr. Barton. Yeah, yeah. And I think his first name...
Leonard.
Yeah.
And he had no reason to be... Did he declare why he was randomly coming onto their lanai?
There was no... Like, I think he was probably just waiting for them to... Like, he had the window open, waiting for them to freak out. And then he's like, "This is my cue to blame them for it."
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Speaking as a real estate agent, he is clearly in the blame.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Zero doubt.
If the tree's on his property, clearly. Mm-hmm. It fell over on their property. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It should be all his cost to haul away that tree and any damage.
But also, does no one have insurance in the 80s? Was that not a thing?
Right, and it's Miami. You should have, like, palm tree insurance. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's a thing you should all have in Miami.
But he's obviously not taking good care of his palm trees. They should have much deeper root systems.
Yeah.
Right, their root systems are pretty big. And so...
And it's also not a big palm tree.
It's not. No. They could all five of them, all...
Carry it, yeah.
Like, the wife, Gladys, Leonard... Blanche, Rose, and even Big Daddy when he gets her, they could have, like, fucking move that tree.
It didn't seem to cause any damage.
No, it didn't cause any damage. It just, it, like, it looked like it, like they, like he threw it over the wall. He probably,
that's all the storm was him operating shaking the tree.
And throwing it out.
I'm tired of this tree. I'm getting rid of it.
And Rose just is like,
Leonard's on a bender. And
and Rose is like, there's a storm outside.
No, the storm is Leonard. It's Leonard. Leonard getting drunk.
Leonard getting wasted.
Gladys going, oh no, Leonard, don't do it!
Don't do it, Leonard! Don't do it! The palm tree off of the 6-foot wall!
Shut up, Gladys!
Shut up, Gladys!
Shut up, Gladys! You're the reason I drink!
Right. And how could they have not heard it fall? Like, they discover it. Like, but so that makes sense that he like, sneakily put the tree there. Or else they would have heard the tree fall. Like, and that tree fell in his yard, and he was trying to blame them.
Right.
Because he obviously doesn't want to pay for the tree people to come and get it.
By the way, it's already uprooted. Like, how much could it be to haul away? Like, a couple $100s? Like, 1980s money? Like, we're literally talking about, like, $200 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. Because you don't have to dig anything. You don't have to... Yeah, you don't.
Yeah,
have,
it's already done.
You have to cut anything. It's not broken in half. And
no
so,
walls are broken.
Right.
No. The rustle and I was perfectly intact. There were some leaves under the palm tree.
And then Rose says, like, if this would have fallen over on your side of the house, it would have destroyed your house, right? And so he should be happy. I don't know why he's being such a dick. This guy's clearly a dick.
He's still drunk.
Oh, yeah.
He's still wasted. Oh. He never went to bed.
You know, that is the best, though, because then you don't get a hangover. You have a chance to drink some water. I hope you drink some water. Maybe get some orange juice.
Leonard knows that much.
Yeah.
I feel bad for this Gladys character.
Gladys.
She seems nice.
She's the nicest. Uh-huh. I love her. She should come over more often.
She was on a 9 to 5. She played Nancy. The drunk?
The drunk. She played the drunk. I love the drunk.
Yeah.
Working 9 to 5. Gotta find a way to make a living. I don't know. Sorry, listeners.
No, that's fine.
Fucked up. 9 to 5. Okay.
All of our Dolly Parton enthusiasts.
Yeah, sorry.
They are furious. They're yelling.
Dolly Parton would have been a great guest on The Golden Girls.
Why was she never on it?
I know. I would have known if she was.
She was probably busy.
Busy?
She seems like Dollywood.
She was too busy making Straight Talk.
She was making a little whorehouse in Texas.
That was 1982.
Oh, that was before
Straight
Golden
Talk
Girl.
Was 1992.
Oh.
So this was neither. This was
I'm
right
not
between.
Happy that I know this, but
86. She was doing nothing, guys.
Bedazzling her outfits.
She had to compete with Blanche's cleavage in this episode. How could she? Okay. And then Sophia puts a curse on Mr. Barton. She does like a
devil's horn.
Like a devil's horn.
Yeah, right. My Italian great grandma used to do that when we would play cards.
What?
She would put curses on you.
No way! Card selection. So this is a real thing?
It's a real thing that Italian old ladies do.
They put a curse on you? Did she call it the evil eye, like Sophia?
No, devil's horns.
The devil's horns.
Yeah, so I hadn't heard the evil eye thing. Also, totally tangential, but whatever. I've been drinking wine. My great-grandma spoke fluent Italian with all of her old lady friends.
Nice.
My grandma spoke less Italian. My father spoke less Italian. I knew a few words. So I thought the older you got, the more Italian you spoke. I thought I would speak Italian when I was an old lady. I understand now that's not going to happen without some effort.
I don't know. I think you can still do it. Speak Italian with an old lady.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's my goal. So Italian old lady is very near and dear to my heart.
One day you will speak Italian and be an old lady, Amy.
Be so
you
cute.
Will. It'll be great.
Oh, he's so saucy.
Then you put curses on people, devil's horns. Yeah. Okay. So, oh my God, that's amazing. Okay. So then he puts the curse on him. He's like, whatever, that's fucking bogus. And then Gladys is such a great character actress. She's like, oh, like, totally like, goofy, you know, and sorry about my husband kind of character, and that was great. But
okay. She was a really funny, battered woman.
Yeah. But she was in control, as we found out at the end, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Gladys gets hers. We'll talk about that later.
Undermine the man.
And then, okay, the next scene, Dorothy and Rose and Sophia are in the living room, and Dorothy has the property map, and so she's got the map of the house.
She had to go right. Wait in line at the courthouse, yeah, probably paid a long time. $10 for some, like,
deal with some clerk who's, yeah, this is bullshit.
Right.
Also, it went over a wall. My deeper concern would be if the wall were on the wrong property.
Yeah.
You know, it was very obvious that it was his property.
Right. If the wall, like, which side of the property the wall is on.
Yeah, should know this. The houses are right next to each other.
I mean, yeah. They could have had deeper property issues. They did not go into that, thankfully, in this episode.
What kind of deeper property issues could have arisen?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the wall could have been on mm-hmm. their side.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the wall didn't collapse. It was just the tree.
I know. So I know. That's what I'm saying.
So maybe...
But if the wall were, you know, moved over, then the Golden Girls could party. And the Bartons, you know, 1 foot of their yard.
They could party with Gladys and maybe Leonard if he really gets blackout drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's probably cool when he's blackout drunk. I bet he puts lampshades on his head.
Chills out a little. Maybe a few racial
slurs. He changed his own clocks while drunk. That's what happened. okay, so then Blanche comes in and she's wearing a WTF dress.
Right.
This is, like, one of the most disturbing things I've seen in Golden Girls in general.
She's wearing this... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just like she wore her Sweet 16.
Her Sweet 16.
Daddy's favorite dress, and her cleavage is just oozing out. She like, brought her stomach up to join that cleavage.
Yeah. Right.
That was some deep.
Yeah, there's some fat... Yeah. So there's stomach fat in that.
Yeah.
This is before the days of the Wonder Bra.
Right. Yeah,
you need to
that is
this.
True.
Yeah.
This dress, okay, it is this turquoise dress, and
I think it's more aqua.
More aqua. Okay, yeah. It's like an aqua dress, yeah. And she's got this like rose, pink rose in the middle, and then she's got this like hat that matches the dress. That's very like mesh kind of fabric, yeah. Like roses like it's very see through, and it's got roses on it also. And I feel like this dress is not the appropriate dress for the time that she's trying to bring back.
This is not an appropriate dress for any occasion.
Yeah.
For a 60-year-old woman, unless it's just like this, unless she's going to like a molestation trial. And she's wearing this dress.
But she wants daddy to look at her like he used to look at her.
Like, this dress is something you wear in like the 1930s, like North Carolina. Like during fried green tomatoes time, like that's when the era of fried greens.
So a molestation kind of movie.
There's
molestation kind of hinted in that movie.
Okay, so she says things like this is the dress that my daddy loved during my Sweet 16. Like, what happened during that Sweet 16, and why do you want to remind your dad of that? Like, why are you like showing off so much boob?
I mean, in Golden Girls history, didn't she also run away at 16 to become a rocket?
She did.
Something happened.
She ran away from Big Daddy. Uh-huh. And then Dorothy's like, I've never met anybody that's called her dad Big Daddy. Like, she calls her out. That is a fucking weird.
Okay, even Rose is creeped out. Even Rose is like, this is fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I'm like a golden retriever human being, and I can't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her understanding of humanity knows that this doesn't fit in with what's supposed to happen.
Right, even a normal golden retriever would know that something wrong is going
She's
on
like,
here.
Someone
its ears would be up. If you're looking around with big old eyes.
You're like, something's good. No, this is
I don't
not.
Know.
This is not
her
good.
Her tail's between her legs.
She's like, right. Either an earthquake's coming or molestation.
And then, either way, the bed will be shaking and I'll be under it.
Wagging my tail. I know fathers and daughters aren't supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And then also in Golden Girls history, there is Blanche was jealous of her sister because her sister got to sit on Big Daddy's lap until she was 16 years old. Yeah, that was like episode 4. Yeah, Virginia used to sit on the
older sister or younger sister?
I think older sister.
Okay.
So she was little watching her sister sit on Big Daddy's lap. And yeah, we're getting really dark.
Okay. But going against the theory of molestation, one thing that I've heard that is difficult is that so dads will be really affectionate with their kids until the daughters hit puberty and start seeming more womanlike, and then they'll be creeped out and not want to touch them and be affectionate. So it could be the opposite, that she developed earlier than her sister, and then her father kind of, she felt abandoned by him, which would explain why she seeks out the attention of men so much.
Right. That is definitely true. So her daddy didn't pay attention to her when she turned 16. That's why she ran away.
Yeah.
And because when she hit 16, she thought she was going to sit on daddy's lap and she didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. We nailed it. High
yes.
five.
Oh, boom. My God.
This
boom.
Is so creepy. Boom.
Creepy. High five.
Because I, hearing the episode name, I really hoped we were going to explore her issues with men. Clearly, she has them.
Right.
Clearly, she seeks a lot of validation from men, not from internal things.
Mm-hmm. External.
Yes. External validation.
External validation.
Give me attention. If I'm a sex object, I still count.
No, this is why you count. So then Big Daddy answers the door, and it's, oh no, wait, Mr. Barton comes in first.
Oh, Mr. Barton.
Mr. Barton comes in first, and he's bewildered because his tire was flat, and he knows that Sophia fucking did it.
Yeah.
And then Dorothy tells him, you need to fucking get the tree out of the yard because the tree that is probably like 100 pounds, you can probably move. And because she shows him the papers that she got at the courthouse, and it belongs, and he like rips them apart. He rips them apart and throws them in the air, and they're clearly like blank. Mm-hmm. Like it's like one page that is just blank. And and so then
Dorothy just drew like a picture of a tree
on his yard.
She's like, I'm not going to the courthouse.
No, just drinking my tea and drawing lines.
But he's so wasted that he doesn't realize that it's just
a blank paper.
A blank paper with
He's angry at paper.
Yeah,
he's really,
because paper are made from trees.
Right.
I thought it was anti-tree.
That's what he's.
I love that we're getting so deep into character analysis. I feel like I understand them so much more now.
Yes.
I was a little confused and bewildered when I watched it.
Right, but then he takes it slow.
He's just been like sitting over like 2 weeks before this episode. He's just been like,
just growling at the tree in his house. Gladys, look at that tree's looking at me again.
She's like, oh no.
Calm down.
I'm too old to leave you.
Why did the kids move out of the house?
It's just us two and you're a drinking problem now.
She's like calling the kids in college. She's like, do you want to come visit? Like,
Why not?
I miss you. He's here. He's around.
Do you have any space for me in Gainesville?
Gladys in a dormitory. I want to see this.
She goes visits like her daughter in Chicago.
No, I would watch a spin-off show, Gladys 2.0.
Just call Gladys 2.0. That would be the best show. Spin-offs that could have occurred, man.
She's out from underneath Linux thumb.
Gladys is free. Gladys is gonna make it on her own.
Just glad to be Gladys.
Just glad to be Gladys. I love Gladys so much. So then he takes off, and then Mr. Barton leaves, and then Dorothy, there's a knock on the door. She thinks it's Mr. Barton, but it's not.
It classic is. Sitcom mix-up.
Classic, yeah. Very classic. Mm-hmm. Very classic joke. And so it's Big Daddy, white suit.
He is Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. Yeah, full KFC regalia.
That's how you know you're from the South. If you're wearing a white suit.
You're not allowed to wear a dark suit. Lest people think you're Yankee.
You don't want people to do that. And so he comes in and he's just like, your eyes are blue like the Mississippi River, Blanche. And your hair is as silky soft as, I don't know, some other Southern metaphor.
And your ass is as tight as a drum.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't hear that.
Your breasts are as high as the Appalachian Mountains.
Your buttocks are as firm as fried green tomatoes.
But yeah, laying it on thick in a creepy way.
It's such a creepy way. Oh my god. And then Blanche, she's acting like an old ex came to visit her. Yes. She's just giddy and her twat is flickering. She's just
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's just...
There was a slug trail behind her. I don't know if you noticed that dress. Just her wetness.
Oh, my God. She was wet from the get-go, dude. Oh, God,
that tile was slippery.
That tile was the slipperiest. And so he comes in, and he's in there for, 2 minutes. He came to visit he literally came to visit Blanche, and then he's like, he's got to go check out this club. And that was kind of weird to me. Why don't you just go check out the club and then come back and hang out? What? That's so weird. Right. And so...
I think he had some other things to get into.
Yeah.
They decided to leave those off camera.
Yeah.
Was. We could speculate here now.
Let's do it. Okay. Go. Yeah.
He was going to go to the gay cowboy bar.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think definitely something in international waters. For sure.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Right. When was the Cuban embargo? That was going on then.
That was going on at the time. That's been going on for a while.
Like 6 years.
60,000 years. I think years.
Probably picked up some rum.
Picked up some illegal Cuban cigars.
Of course. Rum.
Yeah. I think he performed surgery or two. Right. Mm-hmm. Over international waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, international waters.
Maybe
do a lot.
He showed up and he thought Blanche is gonna be there by herself, and then he could fuck her.
It's like all these old bitches,
all these old ladies, boner
killers.
They're gonna
judge me.
I only like girls who dress like they're 16.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And Blanche just thought that they would be out of the house maybe, and so maybe he was meet me down the street at a hotel. And then Blanche snuck out through the back. And
he snuck in through the back. Wink,
wink. There's a lot of things that could have happened. And then he compliments everybody. He, calls Rose Dinah Shore. And he tells Sophia that she's gorgeous. She's an Italian work of art. And so he's, laying it on thick.
Sophia is, fuck you, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck you. I can see through your bullshit.
She knows she's not hot anymore. Do you think she used to be?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably. Totally. Probably. Yeah. There's pictures of Estelle Getty when she was younger. She was pretty cute.
They're all really hot. All the Golden Girls are really hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, best line is when Rose is like, this is like Gone with the Wind. It's like being in Gone with the Wind, which I thought it was crazy because it was such a horrible fuck story. I'm like, so she's Scarlett O'Hara and he's like Rhett Butler. Rhett Butler, right? And then Rhett Burlett. Burlett. And so then he reveals that he's going to go to the Sagebrush. Was that the name of
the honky tonk?
The honky tonk place. The Sagebrush, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna go play music the next day. And for some reason, That's a horrible thing.
Right. She loses her shit about her dad playing music.
I'm like, you're from the South. Music is in your blood. Right. Like Southern music, you know.
Is that a low class thing for her? Is this bringing up class issues? Is that why she's so upset?
She's like, the black people used to do the music for us.
Yeah. I mean, he's just expressing himself. He's probably retired.
Right.
Yeah, retired people pick up hobbies. Yeah. It's better than watching TV.
As every retired person should do, something more. And she's totally against it. Like,
he's got a gig. He lined up a gig. This is in the times where there was no internet. There was just phones. So we had to actually call somebody, convince him that he was great over the phone.
He's like, I'm booked at Twin Oaks or a hotel outside of Twin Oaks. I sold it. and I'm in Georgia. Yeah, he had to call them and book himself, sell himself.
He has no manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's already doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not
supportive of this.
She's totally not being supportive. She's like the worst.
Yeah, he's just trying, and he knows that he has a ways to go. Artistically. Yeah.
Right.
He's just trying something.
Do you think maybe she's heard him play guitar before and she knew he was terrible?
That's what I was thinking too. Thing. Like maybe like when she was 20, like maybe he like fucked her with a guitar. I don't know. but like maybe he did, he tried playing music one night for the entire town of Twin Oaks.
And she was shamed.
And everybody was
There's a whole history they did not explore.
Yeah, yes. They could have done a lot more with that.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, like, if you're not that good, maybe you should be doing mics. Maybe you should be doing, like, you know, Thursday night at the mic, you know.
But this wasn't the 80s. This is before the advent of the 90s coffee shop mic situation.
I thought they had mics in the 80s.
Mics.
They,
okay. Did they? Especially, like for music and poetry and stuff like that.
I just associated with the
90s. You crush a poetry mic.
Maybe late 80s is when the mics really started to happen.
So cutting edge kind of situation happening here.
And so he's like, I'm taking off. Like, he says because it's really weird, because he says he's going to be back late. So it's like, what is he going to do? Like, he doesn't have a show that night. He says, leave the key under the mat. And then he takes off for hours. He's going to go check out this club. Mic tests don't take, 5 hours to 6 hours. You know, like, what is he doing? Like, I think that was a gay bar. I think that...
cowboy hats.
There were men and then a woman in a cowboy suit. So I think she was a lesbian.
Nah, ladies.
She was a lesbian, probably. And she thought, so the guy that hit on B. Arthur thought B. Arthur was a dude. Like,
don't we all?
And so maybe Blanche knew that was a gay bar. And maybe that's why she didn't want him playing there. Because she didn't want to see her repressed homosexual father playing music at the Sagebrush.
Because that can be hard to come to terms with your parent.
Yeah.
You know, your parent's sexual orientation.
Right. Definitely. So, mom's gone. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, mom, Big Mama, he says she died.
Yeah.
She's not dead.
What?
Season 3, she comes.
What?
She's not, continuity.
What?
Horrible. Like, season 3, Big Mama comes, and she visits Blanche, and she has Alzheimer's. They find out she's
dead. Oh, he's like, she's dead to me.
She's dead to me.
Whoa, we need to take this step back.
Okay.
What?
Okay, like, for some reason, I don't know why, they forgot that they said his mom was that Big Mama was dead.
Didn't he say that she had a grave?
She had a grave. And then
I got her a gravestone.
Okay, he didn't
say
she...
You could buy a gravestone
gravestones for the living? Oh,
technically,
yeah.
Technically, he didn't say she died, but he said that at the end of it all, there was an empty house and a gravestone with your mother's name.
Wow.
And
that's how people got divorced back then.
By just getting gravestones?
Yep. You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. Or maybe she was starting to get early onset Alzheimer's, And then she just ran into the swamp, and you know, he thought she died or something. Or, I don't know. This is fucked up. Her family's really fucked up.
Like, you haven't been my flavor for about 70 years, so.
And then, okay, the next scene, she's in the living room, she's sleeping, and he comes in and is like, I don't think he knows how to hold a guitar, because he was like banging it on the door, mm-hmm. like the door, he was like holding the guitar in front of him, and the door kept like pushing up against the guitar, and it was like clang, clang, clang.
No, get a case.
Get a case, or open the fucking door, and then walk with the guitar in.
He had a case later in the episode in the green room, so did he leave his case at the venue? He seems a very irresponsible guitar player.
Very irresponsible. Where are his clothes? Where is his case? What is he driving? And who did he fuck that night? Okay, so something's not checking out here. And so he shows up, and then Blanche keeps acting like a horrible person. She's like, you need to get back on track. You need to go back to Twin Oaks, Dad. And you need to just take a long rest. That's what she calls it. And I'm like, that sounds like she wants him to just die. Like, like she doesn't want to deal with him.
Yes, better to die with dignity than live with a music career.
He plays a song. And it's like the worst. Like, it sounds horrible.
It's not great.
It's not great. But but the audience, I think, wanted to clap. Like, the audience didn't know it was bad.
He had the shadow of talent.
Yeah. So
he knew a chord.
Right. That's why I was like, you should do some more mics or practice more before you book a show in Miami and go on tour and sell your home. I think, like, Blanche should have said, you need to practice for, like, a couple more years and then do what you're doing. Not tell him straight up, like, you're horrible. She says, like, they don't like you. You need to stop doing music. Yeah, like, off the back. Like, she thinks that's not what Colonel Sanders does. Like, you need to sell
You're
chicken.
Disrespecting the image of Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. And then he says that he sold Twin Oaks to go on tour. And so I was like, I didn't know that he was poor. Because in previous episodes, he owned, like, a plantation. Like, the family owned an entire plantation.
Maybe he just didn't have very many liquid assets. He was cash poor. Mm-hmm. You need cash to tour.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were all in stocks and...
Just all tied up in this property.
Tied up in this property.
And the humans he owned.
Yeah.
And the humans... Yes! Because it was a plantation. And right.
We know the history of
the of Georgia.
You know, I don't need 40 white suits.
No. Just need one sparkly suit.
Right. And maybe his wife just, Alzheimer's, he stole all his money and took off. And she's like, I'm going to go live my life. Right? And so then the girls come out and they, like, there's a huge fight. And it was kind of a lame fight, honestly. Like, I thought, like, he says, okay, before the girls come out, she says, you've lost your mind. No, she says to him, you've lost your mind, Big Daddy. And then he goes, you're the one that's gone crazy, girl. And then the girls come out. And then I was like, what was the sentence after that? Like, how did Blanche go crazy? By wearing... crazy 16-year-old prom dresses.
I think maybe there's a cultural breakdown here. For white people, sharing your feelings is like off the deep end.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's gone crazy because you've shared your feelings.
Right, your real feelings instead of pushing them down for peace.
Right.
Yeah.
On the surface. Yeah.
She's moved to Florida and lived with her new friends that share a ton. They overshare a lot.
They overshare.
Totally.
So
She's a different person.
Yeah.
She used to be a lady that didn't...
Right.
Didn't give him sass.
Right. Was you discreet, and...
you just drink your feelings away.
Right.
In the South. Mint juleps.
He takes off, with just his guitar. Who knows where he's going? Maybe to a partner's hotel room.
More cocaine, I
more
think.
More cocaine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so the Golden Girls are there, and they're like, it's fine. They go into the kitchen where tea is made. They just woke up, and there's already hot water. Magic. And so Rose starts talking about her dad and the tuna. The founder of the town in Minnesota also founded canned tuna.
And yeah. He was the first to can tuna in its own juices.
Yes. In its own juices.
Right.
No small feat, guys.
Right? Yeah. And so the Founders Day Parade included a giant tuna and her father in a mayonnaise outfit. and so that's her memory of her dad, which is pretty...
her proud memory of her dad. Her proudest, yeah. Walking down Main Street in a mayonnaise costume. Dragging a tuna. He had a tractor. At some point, he lost that tractor during the parade. He was just dragging it.
Drunk.
Just
the tractor just went off on its own.
We can all assume he was pretty drunk. Right. You have to be.
To be wearing.
As mayonnaise.
As mayonnaise, you have to be wasted.
As mayonnaise.
Come on. Like, no one at this table would get drunk and wear a mayonnaise suit. I would.
Right off
the bat. I'm wearing a mayonnaise suit right now.
Yes, Genevieve is wearing a mayonnaise suit.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure what was in that jar. I'm glad it's mayonnaise. I'm relieved.
It's mayonnaise-like. I'm pawing at your
miracle
mayonnaise.
Whip.
It's mayonnaise.
I'm turning the lid to find out right now.
It may not be good mayonnaise, but it is mayonnaise.
It's a very old mayonnaise. Yeah, and so, and then they, I like it, I think like in a later episode, there's like, the tuna festival and everybody dresses like cans of tuna and mayonnaise. And it's very cute, right? So even though mayonnaise, was mayonnaise invented by the 1950s? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I assume.
Probably. I assume so. Something of that sort. Okay. And so then Blanche, okay, this is what got me. Like, Blanche was like, I always thought my father would keep going and I wouldn't have to take care of him. And she keeps saying that. And I'm like, you don't.
Right,
he's still going. You don't have to take care of him. He's doing like a music career. Like he's starting a music career. Like you're like, I'm sorry that he left your mom in the swamp with Alzheimer's or whatever the fuck happened. Like you should be taking care of your mom, not your fucking, like your dad is fine. Right, and so she talks about him like he's like handicapped or something or mentally handicapped, and I didn't understand that. I thought that was weird.
I was intolerant of like an artistic career.
Definitely,
yeah.
Mm-mm. And then she works at an art museum too.
Yeah,
so she's like in the arts. Like,
so she's seen how messed up artists are.
Yeah, she sees how fucked up.
Speaking as one, by the way, listeners.
So she's been a dancer before. Like she's done like some dancing, you know. So she's been like an artist. Like,
it's weird that she is in that community in that world, but she belittles them and down upon them.
Right. She's just, I think she just doesn't, like, the more he plays guitar, the less time she has for him to finger her. And so,
yeah, if he's fingering a guitar.
He can't
his
finger
hands are
her.
All calloused.
Okay. Calloused.
Oh,
it's going to damage her vagina. This is the creepiest episode.
And she's older, so things are drier, so calluses hurt worse.
Right. It's gotta stay moist with soft fingers.
We talk a lot
fingers.
About science on this podcast.
This is also a science podcast, guys. Okay. Okay, the next scene, it's the living room, and Mr. and Mrs. Barton come in, and he's had it. He's got a boil in his butt. Not in his butt. On his butt. And the clocks are all wrong. What else happened?
He can't sleep.
He can't sleep. Something like the curse has gone awry, and so.
Or it's gone exactly as planned.
Yeah, exactly, right on plan. He's tormented.
So he's tormented. He's like, "Where's the witch?" And then Sophia's just sitting there, and she's like, "You gotta remove the tree, and then I'll remove the curse." And then she kind of like does like this vomit looking thing with her mouth, and he's like, "Is it gone now?" And then she's like, "No, I ate asparagus earlier. Now it's gone." And so then the curse is gone. I thought she was going to throw up on him, honestly.
She's thinking about it.
That'd be cute, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He smells like whiskey. Yeah, why wouldn't she want to throw up?
She's like, now that's a superpower I hope to have as an old lady, to be able to intentionally vomit on people.
We all do.
I've daydreamed. Jurassic Park. Recently, I've daydreamed about vomiting on someone. Like, can I pull this off?
Right, and make it seem like an accident, but really control it.
Brilliant. Like, I'll be eating like Wendy's or something, and then I can't do it because I'm talking about it in a podcast. And they might listen to it, but
yeah, you gotta have that wherewithal
because your enemies are really into this podcast.
Write in if you hate listening to this.
Are you listening to Fuel Your Blog?
If you're listening to this and I vomit on you, it means I don't like you. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Girl or guy. Whoever you are, not gonna say.
But if he drools on you, it's love.
Love. Drooling love. It turns out it was Gladys the whole time. Gladys is the one that... put the boil on his butt. No, that was just luck.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if she, like, injected clogged pus his pores? Into his butt. Uh-huh. Or how do you create a boil on purpose?
I don't really understand what a boil is. I know this is a science podcast.
I think it's like a pink bulb in your butt filled with pus.
That's disgusting.
And you have to, like, pop it.
Lance it.
Yeah.
You don't have it's to. Like, you can.
You could just live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could get one of those donut things.
Yeah.
You could also stop drinking.
Yeah. Probably. Or age. Yeah. It's like gout. You get it from drinking, like at his age. And so it was Gladys all along. I'm Gladys. How did that go?
Just glad to be Gladys.
Glad to be Gladys. Yeah. This should have been like emptiness. Glad to be Gladys.
Aww.
Yay. Aww.
There's still time. I think she's still alive.
she's still alive. Yeah.
Great.
She's still there.
Good
yeah.
for Gladys. Whatever.
Leonard's dead now.
Yeah.
She's free.
Yay. She's free from the curse of Leonard. And then they do a lot of running in and out of homes. I wrote that. Like every time, like Gladys and Leonard, they just every single time they come into the scene, they like run in and then they run out. I thought that was great.
Yeah, on a sitcom, you don't have much time.
Right.
You don't want to waste time watching people walk.
They're not sauntering.
You know.
There was not enough time to even put on earrings.
Oh man, that was crazy. Continuity error.
Yeah, one scene she's wearing earrings and the next one she's
not. I mean, literally disappear before our eyes. I think it was part of the curse.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely part of the curse. And then the next scene, during this whole time they're going to the sagebrush. Rose is wearing her controversial dress from the Zed Phillips episode, the bowling episode. And it's like a gold, purple, red, green.
Teal. There's some teal in
there. There's some teal in
there.
A lot
of jewel tone.
If you don't remember the controversy, I like the dress. No one else likes the dress.
You know, I have mixed feelings about the dress. The flowers on top, stripes on bottom is sort of a bold combination. Mm-hmm. I do like the colors, but I don't find it a terribly flattering cut. The way it's poofy in the bottom, and then the belt kind of gives her a little pooch of her belly.
It's like they got the fabric and they did it in the style that Rose, that Betty White likes, when it should have been a different like silhouette.
I just like the flare sleeves. Mm-hmm. Flutter Sleeves run me over, I think.
Flutter Sleeves. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we discuss this once again. and so they go to the Sagebrush, and there's all cowboys playing video games. It's like, yeah. And then a couple women, very, very lesbian looking, I must say. This might be a gay bar. And so
I love that the decor is like they talked to the prop department and said, anything you have that sort of honky tonk or bar, anything. We'll put all of that. There saddles, was, check. There wanted
was,
sign.
There
check.
Was a wanted sign. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It was and then, a fire hazard, I think.
That the waiter was wearing an ascot, and I was like, yeah. Fucking girl.
Gay cowboy.
Gay cowboy.
No, I have to say, a handkerchief is probably pretty close to an ascot.
Yeah. 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 Definitely.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, and so this guy, they find out that his second show was canceled because he sucked so bad. And so they were like, oh my God, where is he? And the gay waiter's like, in the back, watch out for the guys gator. Blowing themselves. so she climbs over gay guys blowing themselves and she goes to the back where a gentleman probably just left the room. So my theory of him being gay doesn't match with our theory that he fucks Blanche, but we'll still go with it, right? Who cares?
Only until she was 16 and started looking like a woman.
Yeah, he likes a boyish body.
A boyish body. You're right. Oh, so the theory still holds true. Mm. Good. Okay. You're a very boyish man, boyish girl. You're a very boyish man, Blanche. You're a very boyish girl. Okay, so then they're in there, and she calls him, like, honey, which I thought was really weird. You pointed that out, Amy.
That's like the South, though. That's like people call you honey. Like, I've been called honey in the Starbucks drive-thru when I worked there. Yeah.
But calling strangers honey or a waitress calling you honey is one thing, but calling your father honey?
Honey. And then him calling her honey. Maybe it's a South thing.
I think it's a Southern thing.
Yeah. Okay. Which molestation is also a Southern thing.
Yeah.
I think molestation is all regions, but yeah.
I think the South is just like really proud of it.
Our molestation is the best.
Right. And so Blanche is still like, you gotta stop. Obviously, they didn't like you. Blanche wins the worst daughter of the year award.
Yeah,
like,
what a bitch.
Yeah, bitch from the word go. And so he even says like, I wish you could go back to being Big Daddy and not the clown that you've become. And I'm like, wow. Why are you so fucking rude to your father?
Because she's spoiled. It's really his fault that she's such a spoiled little girl.
Right. And she also, earlier in the episode, she's like, did you bring me something? Did you buy me something? Yeah. I'm like, are you a kid? Like, why are you expecting a gift? Like you're a grown woman.
And then she gets all pouty when he didn't buy her something.
She's like, fiddle-dee-dee. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, like, her emotional growth has been stunted from the age that she was molested, so. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this story is just, like, really weird and weak. So, he says, he does a speech about how, like, he always wanted to, like, what does he call it? A tramp steamer? Like, he wanted to jump on a tramp steamer.
Who doesn't want to jump on a tramp?
So and that sounded like something really horrible and really like shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And basically, it's just like a ship that doesn't have like a set schedule.
Like a ship that just floats around?
Just like a hobo ship. It's just like a hobo ship. It's just doing whatever it wants. It's got cargo. Oh, okay. Got people. Yeah.
That's what we feel like it.
It's just float around on like a ship. Yeah. That's what he wanted to do. Then he could still do that. You know, yeah.
Yeah, you can play your shitty country music on a ship, I'm sure.
On a tram steamer.
On a tram steamer.
Yeah. And so he says his wife, like he mentions that his wife is dead when she's not. Like you're just being a dick or in left her. I don't know. Yeah,
this was a really heartwarming speech before I heard the news about her still being alive.
Yeah.
That he saw her and he fell in love with her and decided to suspend his dreams until later.
And then she stopped looking like a boy.
Yeah.
And then
threw her in the swamp. Her.
Yeah. Maybe she
just... Here's your gravestone, bitch. I'm gonna go play guitar.
Maybe she saw what, like fucking Dolores Claiborne. Like, she saw, like, her husband molesting the children, and then she took off.
This is a great reference. Dolores Claiborne.
Isn't it the best ever? This is the first Dolores Claiborne reference ever. Have you seen it?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
So Kathy Bates plays this woman whose husband... I don't want to spoil it. Are you going to watch it?
Watched it in however many years it's been out.
Yeah, it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, probably. It's like 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, no, so she like...
David Strayhorn is her husband. Plays her husband. He's like abusive. Yeah. And then she works with this woman. And like basically like this woman encourages her to like stand up for herself. And then she realizes that her husband molested her daughter, and her daughter is Jennifer Jason Leigh, I think, plays her daughter.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
And then Jennifer Jason Leigh denies that she was molested until the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And then she ends up killing her husband, and so she's being on trial. She's like suspected of murder, but she killed him because of what he was doing to her daughter.
This is horrifying. Why would you give your daughter the middle name of Jason?
That is the worst part of the whole movie. And so this boggles my mind. She's like, why didn't you just tell me this in the first place? And he's like, well, I thought that I wouldn't have to, because you're a grown woman who's had 53 years of experience in life and would know that when someone's trying to chase their dream, they shouldn't. You should be supportive. Yeah. Like, and then they sing the song. She presses her breasts up against him, and they sing the song he was singing in the living room. And then the show ends before we could see them make out.
Which I think was a good place to end.
It's a good place to end.
End on a high note, you know.
Right. And so, yeah. And then later he dies. 6 months later.
This actor died.
The actor died.
The actor died. The actor dies. And Big Daddy dies, season 5. Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
Right. Well, they couldn't bring him back. He's dead.
They could get a guy who looks kind of like him. Colonel Sanders.
Sanders. They could have gotten him.
Come on, Shamu. They've had, what, 30 of them? They just die and they get another one looks like him.
Shamu. They could have gotten, like, the guy that played Gandalf to come in.
Gladys. They could have done what they did with Heath Ledger in Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, where they get different actors to play him.
Or, right. Or that movie about Bob Dylan where, like
20, I'm not there, I'm yeah.
Like, okay. 20 different actors.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, he's with Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett is like Big Daddy.
Or they could just Weekend at Bernie's Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, his guitar playing would not be any worse.
No, they're just...
His corpse, he could have been like a puppet. Yeah, marionette, of course.
Marionette, Big Daddy. All right, well, we did it, guys. Yay. We broke this down to this horrible essence.
Yeah. Remember, if you're feeling lonely and need someone to talk to, please find a loved one who's not your father. Give him a call.
Any loved one, not your father. Amy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me here. Yay.
Do you have any shows coming up after May 18th? March 18th.
After March 18th, well, the Phoenix Improv Festival is coming up in April.
Yay!
Yes. Look it all up. I'll be with my troupe, Mail Order Bride.
Who is awesome. Yeah. Very, very funny.
Because I love funny ladies. Golden Girls, Mail Order Brides. I love them all.
All of them. Yeah. And that is April, the weekend of April 17th. I think it's 17th through the 18th, I believe, a Friday and Saturday.
There's so many days of it.
Yeah, so many days of it. Maybe 16th through 19th. Anyway, check it out. Phoenix Improv Festival is amazing. And the Torch Theater is your home?
The Torch Theater is my home. Go to the Torch Theater. It's a lovely place with lovely people. And my picture is up on the wall. You can pee and look at me at the same time.
Yay, pee.
I have many times.
Yes.
Great. And Genevieve, where are you going to be at later on this?
Well, I'm headlining Comedy on Fire at the Fire Woo-hoo! Stage on March 27th. It's going to be $5. It's going to be pretty late at night. It's the 2-year anniversary of Comedy on Fire. So
it's been burning a long time.
Been burning.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal flame.
Mm-hmm. Lots of smoke. Lots of pollution.
Lots of smoke.
Like and mirrors, I'll be there.
I'll be the headliner.
Yeah.
Oh.
And where can we find you at?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as Genevieve Rice.
Great. And Anthony, when you're not blowing strange men in bathroom stalls, where can we find you?
When I'm not blowing strange men in cowboy bars, I am going to be March 19th at the Tempe Improv for the Arizona Spenny's Comedian Semifinals.
Ooh. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yay. That's tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you guys should come. It's free when you say my name at the door. And then I'm going to be doing improv with Funnel Cake March 20th at Third Space at 8 o'clock. And that's going to be really fun for Comedy Avengers. It's a benefit for something. And
Bullied Kids.
Bullied Kids. Yeah.
There's a name of the charity besides Bullied Kids.
it's not called Bullied
but
Kids.
But it is an anti-bullying organization.
And Third Space is a great space. It was just out there recently.
So
bar,
much.
Coffee shop, haircut, tattoo, whatever you need.
It
you
is, get really there. Should be First Space.
It should be the space. First.
It should be the first.
But it's the third.
Yeah.
First Space was taken. And I'm at Anthony DeSamito and all my social media. And along with our individual social medias, the podcast also has social media. What?
We're online,
guys. So Thank You for Being a Podcast is on Twitter as TIFBAP, which is Thank You for Being a Podcast as an acronym. And you can also find us at TIFBAP on Instagram. We're on Facebook.com/ Thank You for Being a Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, and whatever platform you listen to us on. So thank you guys for listening.
Yay!
Oh, the next episode is the finale of the season one. Yeah, and it's called The Day We Met. Yay.
So it sounds mushy.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel, guys.
What?
Like yeah. Better Call Saul.
Yeah, like Better Call Saul. Like Star Wars. Steel Magnolias. Young Steel Magnolias, The Carrie Diaries.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So more like The Carrie Diaries than anything else.
That makes sense. Young Steel Magnolias? Is there really?
No. Young Steel. It was a cartoon. Well, thank you for listening, guys. Yay!
Thank you. Great. Can I lick the microphone now?
Lick it.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.